Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Anna. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so happy to chat with you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a romance writer. I write historical romance in Regency period is my go-to period because it's just such a fun time and there was so much going on during that time period. And that's what I do for my books. By day, I'm a college professor and an avid gardener. I have, 32 rose bushes, I think, in my garden this year. So I have an addiction. I have to stop buying them. I'm not allowed to anymore. And I love to travel. Mm-hmm. I have a pilot's license. I got that when I was living in Chicago. So I want to apologize to all the air traffic controllers at Chicago Midway for any goof-ups I might have caused while I was flying in the area. And I love to do ballroom dancing. That's my latest obsession. I started doing that about 4 years ago, just before the pandemic, and I love it. And I did a couple of competitions for swing and salsa and was just starting to learn to waltz, which is perfect. I put in my dedication to the third book in this series that I was grateful to my ballroom dance instructor for teaching me how to waltz. Mm-hmm. And I was grateful to the Valkyrie axe throwing bar across the street from the dance studio that taught me how to throw a battle axe, because you never know, a young single woman on the marriage market never knows what kind of skill she needs to catch a man.
Oh my gosh, I love this. And so are you picking up waltz now that things are opening up? Is that the plan in the future? Or
yeah, so I'm trying to my way back into ballroom dance lessons, but I'm a coward when it comes to health issues and things. And mm-hmm. and you know, when you're not just dancing with your partner, you dance with every partner your partner has danced with, to play off that old AIDS commercial from the 1980s. So I'm a little bit hesitant, but I'm gonna get back into it soon now that life has settled down a little bit and I'm back in the classroom now and the world is opening up. So I can't wait to get back because it's so much fun. I love it. I'm definitely not a natural born dancer. I mean, I was the girl who failed class in high school. Mm-hmm. I did, and because we had to have skill tests and it just never worked for me. So I'm so looking forward to getting back to dancing and just, you know, being able to go out with friends and do the social dancing and everything.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I am slowly easing my way back too. It's fair. I lived in Chicago before I moved to Florida recently. And so Chicago was like great about COVID restrictions. And so Florida is like free for all. Where's COVID? What happened? And so I'm slowly like, I'm still wearing my mask. I'm still trying to take care of myself. And so slowly, like, you know, there's like, well, maybe I should do like a small group fitness class, you know, like where there's not a lot of people, like, smaller. And so I am venturing that world, but it's still very strange to say, like, after being in isolation for 2 years, like, oh, this is strange.
It really is. And isn't it amazing how the pandemic warped our sense of time? Like it's been over 2 years. It's been two years now, almost exactly, I guess, because it was March when we closed down. We went away for spring break and never came back. Yeah. I mean, it was that quick when it happened. And we had been warned about it and we prepared for it on campus and everything. But you know, that was 2 years. And yet when I think about that time, it seems like it was just yesterday, because everything seems like forever ago, but yet time has collapsed upon itself and it seems like nothing has happened. And it's just, now I think of everything when I talk about when things happen, I always have to feel, I always feel like I should say, well, that was pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Right. That was right before the pandemic. That was pre-pandemic. So I have to remind myself that we lost 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, so when I tell people I've been ballroom dancing, I have to add 2 years to it because those years disappeared. So it's crazy, but I hope everybody is safe and being cautious and that we do get back to normal soon.
Yeah. So that's the hope. All right, let's chat about some of your books. Let's talk about your current series of source books. You have Lawrence the Strait coming out in a couple of weeks. But tell us a little about the series and tell us about this latest book.
So it's a 6-book series, and it is based loosely on Marvel comic book characters. Mm-hmm. I always say it's the Marvel Universe meets Jane Austen. Because I took those heroes and the traits of the heroes and the idea that they are fighting an evil organization. And I set that in Regency, England, right after Waterloo, when the soldiers are coming back to London and back to England and the world has changed for them and they don't have a purpose anymore. Mm-hmm. And what happens during that time is there is an evil organization named Scepter who is rising up to overthrow the government, and they're going to toss out the monarch and the royal family and put their own puppet monarch in place and create a new government in New England. And so my group of heroes find out about this and they decide they're going to stop this evil group. And it is an evil group. It's not about democracy and reform and, you know, voice in government. They are murdering, they are blackmailing, they are assassinating people, causing riots, everything they can to throw England into chaos and prove that the Hanoverian kings are not fit to rule.
Mm.
And, right. And so it plays in very nicely because there were so many real events that happened during this time that this group can exploit. So you've got the madness of King George. You've got a regent who is the original Playboy prince. He doesn't want to rule, really. He just wants the benefits of it. So is making a mockery, basically, of the monarchy and English rule. You have his daughter, Princess Charlotte, who died in childbirth and lost her son, and that set off a whole new constitutional crisis, and that's the perfect opportunity for Scepter to put their own monarch in place and say, look, the Hanoverians, now let's get rid of them. They don't even have a line of succession that we can depend on. And here is our ruler, and he will listen to us and do what we want. Mm. And so it all just really easily folds into place. In fact, there were even assassination attempts on the Prince Regent. There were several of them during this time. And so it's just like, it's the perfect time to set a thriller. If you're looking for the rise of revolution, this was it. And so that's where the books are set. And it's funny because I know some of the Marvel characters, but not all of them. So the last book that came out last fall, that character is based on Spider-Man. So I say it's Spider-Man meets Van Helsing because he comes up against a woman who wears leather corsets and wields a sword and is a better fighter than he is when it comes to swords. And, you know, they're in the dark side of London, prowling around trying to stop this evil organization. And Scepter itself, there is actually an evil group in the Marvel universe called Spectre. Mm-hmm. And I just took the same word and twisted two of the letters around and came up with Scepter. And it's perfect because they're trying to overthrow the king. So everything just fell into place with this. It was just such a joy to write this series and so much fun. Mm-hmm. It really was.
So in the Marvel Universe, who is your favorite character? You know.
Spider-Man. I always get angry whenever they do the Marvel versus DC, and they always say, well, it's Superman. Everybody loves Superman. We love Spider-Man. And the reason we love him is because he's in real life, he's such a geek. He's a nerd. He can't be successful at anything. You get the girl who's not particularly brave or handsome or strong. And yet he becomes the hero. So he is the reluctant hero that we all are in our hearts and that we love to be. We're not Superman. We're Peter Parker.
Yeah, we are. Okay. I love this. And what can we expect for the rest of the series? So we have Relentless Ray coming out this year, and then are we having another book coming out this year, or is it next year?
There'll be another one in the fall. I don't know the exact date yet. That's book five, and I think that one is called Remarkable Rogue. Yeah, I think we've settled on that title now for that one. I have trouble keeping them straight, but I can't remember my own name half the time. But that one will be out in the fall, and that's book five. And then the last book will probably be out in the spring of 2023. And that wraps up the entire series, and Scepter meets and the hero, one of the heroes that we have seen in all of the books so far, he finally gets his romance, and he gets the princess. He ends up with a princess, and so that one's called A Problem Princess. So that one, I love that title. So
Oh, we got a princess.
he gets a princess, yeah. And so
Yeah.
anyhow, he stumbles into a lot of good fortune through the series. Now he worked very hard, and he's very smart and brave, and he's incredibly dedicated to England and to the monarchy and all of that. But he ends up having to deal with a princess who doesn't want to be a princess. So it's sort of like what was it? I described it as Roman Holiday meets the Marvel characters, because she wants to, be like the character in Roman Holiday. She wants to experience the world, and he can't let her because it puts her life in danger. So.
Oh, you had me at this. You have a Roman holiday. Oh my
I
gosh.
love it. I love it.
I love that movie, and I love all the retellings. Like, there's something to be said about, someone who's like, just want to be a normal person, just want to have my own day and like not have any frills,
Exactly. And I got the idea from that kind of, there was a Lucy Worsley documentary, and I love Lucy Worsley. And she did a three-part series about the Regency, and her first episode was about the Prince Regent, who's going to become George IV, and about how traumatic his childhood was and how strict it was. And it was so regimented and Spartan in every way that, of course, when he got to be an adult and had some freedom, of course he rebelled. And so we shouldn't be surprised that he married the woman his parents didn't want him to marry, that he has a string of mistresses, that he doesn't want to follow their royal rules that they have been living under for the previous, 75 years. And I thought, we expect our royals, we expect to hold them to a much higher standard than we do other people, but they're just humans who happen to be born into that family. It wasn't their fault. They didn't choose it. They didn't want this. It was thrust upon them. And so, thinking lately about Harry and Meghan, who walked away from their role, that has never happened before in the history of the English crown. It just hasn't happened. And so, my heroine wants to do the same thing. She wants to get away from that. And it's never been done before. And they're not even sure it can happen. How do you do this? And she's a crown princess. So it's not, Harry was the spare. She's right there in line. So it's a completely different thing. And also, I thought about Princess Grace of Monaco. I love Princess Grace. But she made a really heartbreaking comment right before her marriage when she said, I love my husband, you know, I love him. I'm going to enjoy being married to him. I'm not making a mistake. But I also realize that I know where I'm going to be at every moment for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. How horrible that would be. You are imprisoned as a princess. And we don't think about that.
Yeah.
What else would you like to know about the series and the books?
Oh my gosh. I am excited for the next couple of books in the series. So as I was telling you, I'm like starting to binge. I read another series of by you. And so now I'm like binging the series and I'm like, when you gave me the test, like little taste of it, I'm like, I am here for it.
Yeah. I love it because you've got all the restrictions of the typical Regency romance, yep. But then you've got this whole other layer of the dark, seedy underworld of London and swords and murder and blackmail and all these things that existed during the time that don't find their way into Regency romances or into Jane Austen. You know, it's Jane Austen is a very sanitized version of the Regency, and even, you know, yeah. Bridgerton, very sanitized version of what the Regency was. And my books are not quite that sanitized. They're very spicy and they can be very dark, and it's much different. But I hope that they're a wonderful mode of escape for readers, because that's what I want them to be more than anything. The book that's coming out in 2 weeks is the fourth book of the series, Relentless Break. And math nerds and wallflowers from high school dances across the world are going to love this book, because our heroine is a schoolmistress and a brilliant mathematician who has to hide how brilliant she is because her brother takes credit for all of her math genius. And she is the one who goes to all of the balls and never gets asked to dance, and is always with the companions and the old maids on the side of the room, until she gets drawn into Scepter's evil plans against her will and without her knowledge. And she comes across an earl. She doesn't know he's an earl, and he's masked, and he saves her from an attacker one night in a dark alley. And after that, her world just sort of spins out of control. And so I tell everybody, if you are the high school nerd, if you are the blue stocking, that's exactly what she is. And it's the blue stocking gets the football captain. That's how this book ends, at the end.
So. Oh, I love this. I love this comparison. It's perfect for contemporary readers to look at it. You know, here's a book mm-hmm. that, even though it may be out of your wheelhouse, is a perfect gateway for a contemporary reader, you know.
I think so. And my books do have a contemporary feel to them. Mm-hmm. I don't try to write in Jane Austen Regency dialogue. My heroes and heroines sound like 21st century Americans for the most part. I try to avoid modern slang, and I try to avoid words and things that didn't exist before 1820, but their speech patterns, the way they talk and engage with each other, it's very much modern language. And I try to do that because I don't want people to be pulled out of the story. And there are too many times when I read a book that if they throw in that language from the Regency period when they're talking, it reminds me I'm reading a book, and it draws me back out of it. And I want to be lost in that world. And so the voice that most of us hear in our heads is this 21st century American dialogue, you know? And so that's where they go to. So there's modern references every now and then, like the heroine who wants to learn to drive, just, you know, to be like the men. And all of my heroines have to have jobs. They have to have jobs. They're not just sitting around waiting to get married and have babies, because how boring would that be? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they all have responsibilities, and my publisher calls it, you know, feminist. I don't know if it's feminist. I just think it's strong women who aren't afraid to go after what they want.
Love this. Yes. I feel like that's where I got the sense of reading your books is like strong female characters, which is like a catnip for me. I'm like, I need someone who's like strong will, who has like some sort of background and has a story. And it's not just a marriage mar. That's the only thing, or having babies is the only thing in their life. Like there's more to life with that, you know?
There's so much more to life. And my heroines fall in love and get married and do have children because they want to. That's their choice to make. It's not because society has forced that upon them or because that's just what people do during that time. They want a lot more than that. And the men never get in their way. The men never say, oh, you can't do that anymore. You were a doctor before, but now you can't do that because you're going to be a duchess. You know, in fact, the men most of the book at the very end, the men end up enabling the women to continue with their line of work and their reforms or whatever it is that they do. So it becomes a true partnership that way.
I love this. All right, so let's have some book recommendations. Do you have any books you recommend our listeners to pick up?
Oh gosh, historical romances or just any? Okay. So I do love historical romances, and I do have to say that the second book in the Bridgerton series, The Viscount Who Loved Me, I think is the best book of the Bridgerton series. Mm-hmm. I think there's another book, and I'm going to get the title wrong. I think it's called Lord of Rakes. That's a really interesting twist as well. I got addicted to Regency romances by reading Susie Enoch's books. Ooh. So she's lovely, and I recommend any of her books. They're fabulous. There is a book, I love Sabrina Jeffries as well. There's a book called, I want to say it's One Night with the Prince. Mm-hmm. And that's a fabulous book as well. Outside of historical romance, because I read everything, right? I'm a college professor. I have a PhD in literature and composition. And so I'm a voracious reader. And I find that when we do read other books outside of our specific genre, we become better writers. Mm-hmm. And there are certain books I just love and I return to again and again. The first one, my favorite book of all time, is Catch 22 mm-hmm. by Joseph Heller. And if people aren't familiar with the book, it's the book that MASH is loosely based on. And it is about a group of soldiers during World War II. And it has that dark humor and incredible characters. But what's amazing about it is it's told in a non-linear format. So I always tell writers, if you're looking for a master course in characters and non-linear format, you can't do better than Catch 22. My other go-to writer is Gabriel Garcia Marquez. He's wonderful. Magic realism. Mm-hmm. He did 100 Years of Solitude, Love in the Time of Cholera, are the two that people might know. What I love about his books, the creativity that he puts in it, mm-hmm. he'll have wallpaper in a room with butterflies on it. And the butterflies will come to life and they'll come off the wallpaper and fly around the room. And no one cares. Nobody thinks that's odd or bizarre, because in that world that he's created, moments of magic like that can occur. And that's what I think is wonderful, that he just has this wonderful world building capability. So I really recommend him. The Groucho Letters. It's a collection of Groucho Marx's letters, and it's a fabulous book, and I keep it on my bedside table because when I've had a bad day or there's something particularly awful going on in the world, I grab the book and I read a couple of his letters, because you can't not read his letters and not laugh and not feel better. And so especially right now with everything that's going on with the pandemic and Ukraine and all the uncertainties of the world, I find that that's my go-to over, over and over. Let me think if another one might be The Great Gatsby, I guess. It's different from the rest of Fitzgerald's books. It's smaller, it's much more poetic in his writing, but it's also wonderful for character and motivation and backstory and narrative, because we get Nick Carraway's voice coming out in this book. He's a horribly unreliable narrator, but we know why he is. And so you get a passage where Gatsby is describing Daisy, and he says, her voice is filled with money, right? Her voice has sounds like money. And you realize that that says everything we need to know about Daisy in that one sentence. And then it also sums up everything about Fitzgerald as a writer, because he's able to be poetic and have a word economy at the same time. And we know exactly why Gatsby won't end up with Daisy at the end, because of that one sentence, just like that. So those are my books. Those are my favorites. I love them. I love them. And I read them over and over again. And you know, people will say, how many times have you read Catch 22? Well, I've read Catch 22 now about 20 times. Mm-hmm. And people will say, well, why do you read the book so much? It never changes. It's the same book. But it's not. Because I'm a different person. And every time I read the book and pick it up, it's different because I'm reading it as a different person. Mm-hmm. So I love to go back and reread these books. And I think if people want to treat themselves, go back and reread your favorite books from childhood. Mm-hmm. Go back and read the Black Stallion books. Go back and read the Narnia books. Go back and read the Ramona books.
Yeah.
And see those as an adult, you know, 40 years later, and it will touch your heart all over again, but it also gives you a brand new perspective on the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, I love this. Yeah. I read Gabriel Garcia Marquez back in high school, because I went to Puerto Rico. So my high school, we did Spanish literature and English literature. And so I remember reading and like fascinated about 100 Years in Solitude. Like that book was like epic. Like it's just an epic family saga. Where
yes.
I'm like, oh, I should go back and read it.
Yes. And his short stories are amazing. Yeah. He's got a short story that I love. It's called Eyes of the Blue Dog.
Mm.
And it's only like maybe 5 pages long. And the premise of the short story is there's a man and a woman together, and they're in a room and they're talking, and she keeps saying, remember, eyes of the blue dog, eyes of the blue dog. And that will help us be together. And then you find out that they're only together in their dreams, that they don't know each other in the waking world, and they don't know where they are out in the world. They don't have any way of meeting up. Their secret code is in the real world, in the waking time, they run around the world, and every chance they get, they say eyes of the blue dog. They write it on walls. They put it in letters. They blast it out everywhere they can, because they know that if one of them sees that, then they know that they've found each other in real life. Isn't that amazing? The way it plays with reality is just mind-bending, and I love it. I can't get enough of it. I've read everything he's written.
I love this. Oh,
so I cried. I think he died about 10 or 15 years ago. When I found out, I cried. I was just devastated at the loss to the world when he died.
Yeah. Well, we can always go back to his backlog and all the books and reread them and explore aspects and different things. And each has meaning, and each has a setting, and each has something to be said. So.
Yes. The writing is just amazing, just creative, and and soft. It's the, you know, it's like there's some fantasy and sci-fi where it's really harsh and they blunt, hit you over the head with the message they're trying to get across. And his writing is not like that. It's very soft.
Yeah. So, oh, well, thank you for all this. So tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me online. The best place to find me is on Facebook. And I also have a webpage, www.annaharringtonbooks.com. And if you go to annaharringtonbooks.com/follow, it will take you to all of my social media and every place that you can sign up. And I really urge everybody to sign up for my newsletter, because I'm not the best when it comes to staying up to date on social media, but whenever something important happens, like a sale or, you know, a new book or something, I send out the newsletter. So that's the best way to reach me. And I'm always spoiling my readers. I love my readers. They're the best people. I'm always giving them gifts and contests and things. So you want to stay up to date on all of that and all the news that's coming out. So
I love this. Well, thank you, Anna, for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this. And I hope everybody grabs 5 or 6 books today and adds it to their list of whatever they want to read. And just make sure one of them is the Groucho Letters. It will get you through a lot, I promise.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for romance audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for LibreFM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more, or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship package for you. Thank you once for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.